Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, when the market takes a hit, it's easy to panic, but that's really the worst thing you can do. A well-thought-out recovery plan can help you regain your footing and rebuild your financial security. Today, we're going to explore some actionable steps for turning market losses into long-term stability.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is the Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker's here. My name's Steve Siddall. Kevin's been helping folks for better than three decades. You'll find him now at Silverleaf Financial, silverleaffinancial.com. He wrote a book called The Millionaire's Guide to Tax-Free Money for Long-Term Care, and I think that's one you might be interested in. Visit the website to learn more. Right now, let's just check in. Kevin's here. Hi, how are you?
Hey, you know what? We're doing great, guys. And if anybody's interested in that book, and I've got some other books on retirement planning, you can request those right directly from the website. That's silverleaffinancial.com, leaf like a tree. Mm-hmm. And you can schedule an appointment with me too. There's a box on the bottom right. You can schedule a brief 15-minute phone call where we can just talk, cover whatever questions you have, and see if you want to commit the time to sitting down face to face. So that's
sure.
Directly on the website, and it's immediately tied into my calendar, so you know exactly when I'm available, and we can talk briefly on the phone and see if you want to explore further.
Very good, and I think you talk about panic, and it's a normal thing to do if that makes sense. But I like the description here. I don't panic; I just make rash decisions with a heightened sense of urgency.
Exactly.
But I mean, that's as the market burps and chortles and spits a little bit. Yeah, what do? I mean, panic can set in, and that can cause a problem or two.
It for sure can, and there's no question about it. And that is a big reason, why a lot of people like to work with an advisor, because, we can bounce ideas off of each other, we can talk things through, and we can come to a rational decision, and we can do it with the benefit of having years and years of experience, in the markets and handling investments. And so I think it's difficult for a lot of folks when you see a certain profit or a certain gain in an investment, and you don't want to lose it, right? And you don't want to round trip it, like being up 100% and letting it come all the way back down to break even. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. And if you look back, guys, at the most wealthy people on the planet, right? Like Bezos. Look at Amazon stock.
Sure.
He started that company, I think they came out in 97, if I'm not mistaken. And if you go back and look at the stock in the late 90s, early 2000s, I think it was around a buck, plus or minus a buck. It traded down to 50 cents and back up to a dollar. And he held it all throughout the whole thing. Now, granted, he had a gazillion shares, all right? But it's beneficial for everybody to look at the ups and downs that wealthy people have gone through, because to me there's a lesson in there. And that, first of all, we don't know which stocks are going to be the next Amazon or the next Nvidia or the next Apple.
Right.
But all of them go through cycles, right? They all go through cycles where you see these terrible sell-offs, but the people that have been very successful tend to hold on to them, just like Warren Buffett, and buy when people are panicking and sell when people are greedy. And I think that you want to take advantage of other people's emotions, but not, you don't want to fall prey to your own. And so what I like to do is I like to use processes. I like to use what we call factors in the investment world. So these are things you can point to, objective criteria you can point to with regard to an investment. For instance, if it's a stock, you can look at earnings. You can look at earnings beats when they announce their quarterly reports, you know, revenue growth and any number of other things that you can help use to determine, you know, if something is a solid investment. So what I like to do, if I start to have doubts about something, Steve, I'll go back and I'll look at my basic thesis and I'll compare it as my original thesis still intact. And if everything is still intact, the reasons why I bought it are still there, then chances are you should hold on to it. If, however, something changes, if you're a technical trader and you like to trade based on support and resistance levels and breakout patterns and all these things, then you need to stay true to that discipline. And if something breaks down and you see the death cross, then you probably should sell. And that, for the record, guys, is when the shorter-term moving average goes below the longer-term moving average. If it does the opposite, we call it a golden cross, and that's a strong buy signal. So if you'd like more information on these things or to talk to me about your strategy, I'm happy to do that. I started doing this in 1990. You know, it's definitely not my first rodeo. I've been through all sorts of ups and downs in the markets, and the most successful investors stick to their discipline and don't fall prey to an emotion. When things look really bad, that's probably a time you should be looking at buying, not selling.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, again, how do we navigate through all of that? And I guess to me, it just makes so much sense. I mean, the things that you just outlined there, you know, in terms of the golden cross, the other, I don't want to think about that. I want you to.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's right.
That's it. That's the mentality that people that work with an advisor, that's what they have. They're like, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't find enjoyment doing that. And I get it. I understand. You know, and that's why we're here. You know, and some people, on the other hand, if you're the type of person that you really enjoy doing it, then, you know, best of luck. And I hope it works for you. You know, but a lot of people that used to do it themselves when they were younger, they wind up coming to, I've met a lot of them as they're going into retirement or they're in retirement. They say, you know what? I'm just tired of doing it. I don't want to do this anymore. You know,
right.
I want to turn it over to somebody else and let you manage it. And that's exactly what people tell me all the time. Or they come to me from another advisor. They're not happy with him or her for any number of reasons. They could be at one of the bigger firms that a lot of clients feel like every time they call to talk to somebody about their account, they talk to a different person every time they call. And they don't want that. They want to have a relationship with one advisor. And so that's what I can do. We don't have phone teams and phone banks. If you're one of my clients, then we're the ones having the conversations on a regular basis. So it's important that when you look around, you understand, you know, what types of service you're going to get, let alone the performance and the responsiveness when you have a question. You know, do they call you back when they say they're going to call you back? Do they stay in touch? Do they follow through with what they offer or what they promise? And so going back to the emotions. You know, we always say you want to keep the emotions in check, right? And that's why if you're doing something that we call rules-based or factor-based, you know, that it's in black and white, right? It gives you the parameters in which you look at a company for purchasing. And if those parameters break down, then you sell it, you get out. And it's not a perfect system. I don't believe there's any such thing as a perfect system. But it can be very successful. And that's what's worked for me. But it doesn't work for everybody. But the key is that we want to come up with a plan and you want to execute the plan and stick to it, right? And so we don't want to fall prey to the emotions and make sure that we keep a clear head when we're in the market. All right. But guys, at the same time, if you're retired, and you've accumulated all the wealth that you need, then a lot of times I ask people, why do you want to take the risk? If you're not comfortable with it, if you don't really enjoy it, you don't have to take the risk. If you could live off your portfolio and take reasonable withdrawals, which are 4% or less, or you invest I can still get guaranteed rates of 5.5% on a plain vanilla fixed annuity for 5 years. There's no fees or charges. It's just 5.5%, like a CD, except it's tax deferred. So in that situation, you could, you know, you put $100,000 in, you take out $5,500 every year, right? And that gives you a supplement to your other sources of income, mm-hmm. and you don't touch the principal. So, but you don't have any market risk. So there are, the nice thing about rates coming up is that you can actually make a little bit of interest on your money now. And so I think you need to weigh, when you're looking at risk versus reward, you know, I think you want to look, I always talk to people, I say, look, think about your stress level and your anxiety. If it gives you anxiety or stress seeing the market drop 1,000 points, you know, then maybe you need to have less in the market or maybe have nothing in the market. You know, there's certainly a lot of alternatives out there because you don't want to be losing sleep at night worrying about your portfolio.
Of course not. You know, you were talking about, I don't want to do this, I want you to do that. And I mean, that goes back to, you know, it's like if you want to get something done. I mean, I'm not a very handy guy around the house.
Yeah,
I'll pay
yeah.
somebody, because if I do it myself, then I'm still going to have to pay somebody to fix what I did.
Oh, 100%. And that's I tell you what, that's, you know, I always wondered because, you know, I'm the youngest of 6 kids.
Sure.
And my father was a very, very handy guy.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that could fix almost anything. And he made his living fixing heavy equipment like bulldozers and things like that.
Oh yeah, he had he did good stuff.
So he took me through everything. He took me through the same thing he took my other brothers through. Right, when I'm growing up, it's you need new brakes. I'll show you how to put on new brakes.
Sure.
And whatever it is. And I got 2 other brothers that are also very handy. One of them worked as a maintenance guy at a factory. Another one literally worked as an auto mechanic. And so they can fix all kinds of stuff. But you know what, Steve? I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not me. I can do the basic stuff.
Some basic stuff, yeah.
You know, but I have learned that it's much better for me with my talents and my skills. If I got something breaks in the house, it's much better and it's a much smarter move for me to just call somebody, make sure they're not ripping me off, and hire somebody to do it.
Right, because there's always a guy for that.
There's always a guy
for
that, right? Call the guy. Call your guy, you know?
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, I'm a big, big believer in when you find a good, you know, I don't know, a good auto mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, hold on to him. It took me years to find a good mechanic, meaning a guy that doesn't overcharge for what he does and a guy that doesn't try to sell you stuff that everybody knows you don't need. Everybody but you doesn't know you need.
Right. Exactly.
And so this is a guy I went to and several times. I thought there was a problem. He's like, you know what? I looked at it. You're fine. There's nothing wrong. And you know, take your car back. You don't owe me a dime.
And I'll be back when it breaks.
There you go. He's the only mechanic I found like that. So if you can find yourself a good stable of people, just like, you know, you get a good dentist, you got a good doctor, you got a good mechanic and whatever else types of people you use, those are invaluable resources to me. And I think it makes life a lot easier when you find them because you know you can trust them.
Sure. And so we're talking about, you know, panic in the market and how to react when a market burps like it does sometimes. So the risk versus reward in terms of what you do, that's what you're just talking about, having to weigh one
yes.
or the other or both.
Yes. And it's all going to start with, you know, we want to start off. Initially, we sit down, we look at your assets and versus liabilities. We're looking at your, you know, your income versus your expenses. And of course, we want to start off, the easiest thing to start off with is to see if you can trim any non-essential expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you blown? And there, for the record, there are software programs and apps out there right now that will actually do it for you once you input all the data. And they'll tell you, hey, you know, you're spending $400 a month on newsletter subscriptions, you know, or whatever it might be.
Right. Right. And, I mean, that's worth it, too, to do that.
It is, you know, because that's one thing that surprised me. A lot of people that I sit down with, I'll ask them what are really some basic questions, and they don't know the answer. And so that's when I say, well, it's a great starting point. This is a great starting point, right? We got to look at your expenses so you know, so you can tell me, you know, when I say what are your total monthly expenses, you can say, oh, they're $5,200 or whatever the number is.
Sure.
But that tells me you're on top of it, right? And so once you get on top of those finances, you should be in a position, you say, you know what, I don't use 16 different streaming services, I really only use 3, and maybe I don't need to pay for those, right? So we want to get rid of the unnecessary expenses, and then we want to see how much money that you need to live off of. And that's when I come back and I say, you know what, if you've got pensions and Social Security and income sources that are reliable, that will allow you to live the lifestyle that you want to live, then I think the first question is, do you want to take any risk at all with your money? To me, that's the first question. And it's different for everybody. It's not the same. You know, now a lot of times the philosophy for a younger person is to take more risk because you have time to make it back. But I'm going to say, regardless of your age, if you've got enough put away that we can set up a reliable stream of income and you can do everything you want, we can hedge it, we can set it up so you know you've got additional income as inflation increases, so we know, you know, you'll be fine 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, then I would reduce my risk is what I would do. Because I think you want to have risk for growth. But to me, like now, for instance, now, Steve, you know what? I'm getting 5, 6, 7% on bonds. Okay. And I've got hedged vehicles. Like I can get the S&P 500 index with a hedge that sells options against a position that's paying 9.75% interest. So it gives me the gains of the stock market, but they're modified because we're selling options against the positions. But if you have a flat market or the market just goes sideways for a while, you're still collecting that options income of 9.75%. So there's a lot of investments out there like this now that you can do this with. So you can get more conservative investments and still be in the market. You know, like let's say you're an index fund investor. Maybe you shift to something like that that's got a little bit of a hedge put on it. You won't have quite as much upside, but you're going to have beautiful cash flow, and you got nice dividend income to supplement your other sources of income.
Sure. I mean, again, that just those are the kinds of things that you see that most of us don't. I mean, just you're looking at a big picture. You know how these pieces fit together.
And yes, and it's how they fit together, and we want to make sure we don't have too much concentration, right, which is something we've talked about before. You know, speaking of risk, one thing when the markets are going up, right, we're all making money, everybody's happy, it's easy for your positions to get out of balance. And so it's important if you haven't rebalanced your portfolio or looked at your position size in a while, you should take a look at it. Because maybe you wanted to have 15% in technology and now you've got 30% or something. You know, maybe you want to shift some of the money that you had in technology. Maybe you want to shift it more towards finance because of the market and the economy stage that we're in. So you want to take a look at it. Make sure you're up to speed. I really don't like the set it and forget it mentality. I think that can be dangerous, and I think you can wind up with a surprise where it's kind of like you're burying your head in the sand, and you open your eyes and you're looking at a 30% loss. Mm-hmm. So not all stocks don't go higher, right? It's easy to talk about Amazon and Nvidia and Apple and Microsoft as well. If you just hold on to it, you'll be super wealthy. Yeah, it doesn't always work that way, right?
No, because we don't know.
We don't know. Look at how about if you did that with Intel? How's that working out for you? Right? Not that great. You know, so different things happen. Competition comes up. You know, who knows if somebody's going to come up and knock Nvidia off the throne?
Well, it certainly could happen.
It definitely could happen. I ask myself that all the time.
You talk about Intel. I mean, they were the bomb at one point.
They were. That's exactly why I brought them up. And I just want to make sure, because I have met some folks that say, well, if you just buy and hold, you should be good, right? And it's only if you buy the right thing. And that can be different, you know, a month and a year from now than it is today.
Of course.
And so competition is more intense than it's ever been. And I think it's important to stay on top of things. But what I like to do, you know, if you're feeling like panicking, I think the first thing is to take a look. Maybe you've got too much exposure to stocks. You're taking too high a risk with your portfolio. We can lower the risk of a stock portfolio, or we can get out of stocks and go and shift more into bonds or into other vehicles that don't have that volatility. But what I like to do, and I've talked about many times, is put together a wish list so of stocks and investments you'd like to make, but you'd like to make them a little cheaper, all right? And that'll get you in a mindset of you want to buy on the weakness. That's the mindset you want to have.
Sure.
But you got to do the work ahead of time to know what you want to buy, right? Because when the market's panicking, that can a lot of times cause people to second guess themselves. And I'm not saying don't take new information, you know, into process. But what I like to do is find stocks that look attractive to me that I'd like to buy a little bit cheaper. And when the market sells off, that's when I jump in, or I go in with a limit order ahead of time. And if the market comes down to that price, then I get filled and I buy it at a discount. It's really bizarre, Steve. One of the strange things about the stock market, most people don't like to buy it when it's on sale. Everything else, everything else. People love
it. Oh, yeah, we'll wait till it goes on sale.
You'll wait till it goes on sale. Some people will even get up and stand overnight.
Oh,
right?
Yes, of course. Yep,
in a line, right, waiting to buy something. But when the stock market goes on sale, it's one of the few things on sale people want to run away from. And so I get it. I get it. It's not fun when you look at your statement or you look at your account and you see, man, it's down 10 grand from where it was or whatever the number is. But you got to have the confidence and the timeline in perspective. If you're looking to cash out in the short period of time, then you need to be really careful with stocks because who knows what they're going to do on a short-term basis. That's why we tend to have people shift more to conservative vehicles as they're getting closer to retirement. Most people want to lower the volatility and they want to go towards more stable and consistent things. And so that's what you want to make sure you talk to your advisor about and that you know he's on the same page or she's on the same page with you so that you don't wind up being in something that's more risk than you're really comfortable with.
Sure. I mean, because that I understand the desire to be in risk because you want to catch up if you're feeling behind. And boy,
yes.
That doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't always work. And so that's why, you need to put in the time and do the research or find an advisor you're comfortable with that is putting in the time and doing the research.
Well, that's you, and you're an independent fiduciary advisor. And tell me why that – I know why, but tell me why that's important.
Well, you know what? On the independent side, being independent allows me to recommend any product that's available in the market, that they open up to individual advisors. So in other words, there's no proprietary product. There's no house product. There's no incentives or, fees that I'm generating or income that I'm generating, anything that's outside of just my basic management fee. And guys, there's still incentives out there at a lot of different places. I still see trips being offered. I got one the other day, an invitation that, hey, if you sell a bunch of this, then we'll send it to Morocco next year. I said, okay, well, Morocco sounds cool. But they're still doing it. And there's still, agreements and bonuses being paid to firms and offices that move a certain number of mutual fund shares, and then the mutual fund gives them, money back or they phrase it in some way. In fact, there's some big firms that just paid some settlements for that, household names that just paid settlements for that because guess what? They didn't disclose it to the investors. So, now I'm not saying they can't do a good job for you, but if you're independent, we can look at everything across the board. There's no menu of items. There's no house product. And we're recommending what we believe is truly in your best interest. And a fiduciary has an obligation to put your interest above theirs and to put your interest above their firm. And if you're dealing with somebody that just adheres to a suitability standard, that's not required. That just means you have to put them in a right box. So you fill out the questionnaires and the surveys, the risk tolerance questions. You come up with a certain score, and they put you in the same box with everybody else that has that score. All right. It doesn't mean it's the best thing for you, but it's appropriate based on your profile. And so there is a difference, and only about half the industry works up to the fiduciary standard. The other half, a lot of them are the biggest firms. They don't want to take on the liability. They don't want the liability of their 15,000 brokers having to be fiduciaries. And so if you look at who sends lobbyists to Washington to fight these things, which has come up several times, you can see who's opposed to it. And so I think it's important that you work with somebody that's putting your interest first and utmost and foremost and also to be independent because that's how you can survey the entire landscape. In fact, that's what caused me to leave a brokerage firm years and years ago and set up go completely independent is because I found an investment at the brokerage firm that wasn't on our so-called approved list because everything that a broker sells, they have to have a selling agreement, essentially a contract that says they can recommend or represent your product. And they weren't on the shelf, so to speak. So I went to compliance and I said, you know what, this is the perfect fit for my client. I want you guys to review it and put together an agreement. And they came back a few days later and they said, no, we're not going to do that. We think you can use one of our products. And I said,
goodness.
And I said, okay, so I guess I either need to pick whether I'm staying with this firm or I'm leaving and I'm going to do what I feel is right for the client. So that's when I left the firm because I couldn't deal with that. I can't deal with that. You're telling me that I found something that is the absolute best fit for this person, and you're saying I can't because you guys want me to sell one of your house products. I said, it's bullshit. I'm done.
That's what it is.
I'm done. And I handed him a resignation. And so I think it's important that you get to know somebody and know that they're doing what's best for you and that they're truly giving it their 100% sincere effort. And I'd be happy to show you how I work. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you'd like to talk to me and see if we might be a good fit.
So, Kevin, in the time that we have left, let's talk about, I know we're only 3 weeks into the new year, but do you feel trends are happening? Are you feeling optimistic? I mean, I know Monday is a big day with the transfer of power and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So do you see things just kind of continuing like they are?
You know, I think it's actually a very hard question to answer right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't know what policies are going to be enforced. We don't know what campaign promises they're going to try to keep. And obviously a lot of things that he says he doesn't have full control over anyway.
Sure.
So we don't know exactly what's going to – like with tax cuts, obviously we need Congress and the Senate to go along with that. So I think right now I can answer it this way. The business community and the investment community is very optimistic about the incoming administration. The market, Wall Street, is optimistic because they feel there's going to be less onerous regulations, that the regulators will make it easier for companies to do acquisitions and mergers, which, of course, would be good for Wall Street. Think about Goldman Sachs, doing an initial public offering, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be good in that sense. And also in terms of IPOs, it'll bring us more product, more new companies, right? New companies to invest in. There are some exciting ones in the pipeline. We don't know when they're going to come public. But that's how we get new investments, right? And there's actually a lot fewer stocks in the stock market than there were if you look back 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago.
Why is that?
I think it's a lot because a lot of companies, they don't want to deal with the reporting and the regulatory requirements.
Okay, sure.
And so they just choose to stay private, or to go back private, but also I think there's a lot of dynamics that have changed. Now we have more exchange traded funds than we have mutual funds now. And there are thousands
of
those.
And that's a shift.
Right? It is. It's a big shift.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things going on behind it. So I guess what I'm personally I'm concerned about, I have trouble wrapping my head around how a tax cut is going to benefit the country, I say, as opposed to an individual. Yes, I'd like to pay less in taxes. Sure. And you know what? I don't have any, we don't have kids, but I'm worried about the future of this country because of this debt. I don't have to have kids to be concerned about it.
No,
we're paying over $1 trillion a year with a T, $1 trillion a year in interest payments on our debt, guys. That is more. We're spending more on interest payments on the debt than we spend on the entire national defense of our country. That's all branches of the military, all the ongoing wars and conflicts abroad. We're spending more in interest on our debt. All right, and how is a $4 trillion tax cut? How is that going to possibly help the deficit and the national debt? And so that's where I'm at. I know what they're saying. Their argument is that, it's going to spur growth. I'd like to see the empirical evidence of that. Show me the evidence.
We don't know that.
I don't know that. You know what? I remember Larry Kudlow talking about trickle-down economics for the last 20 years ago, 25, 30 years
ago. Yeah, I was thinking of that a couple of days ago.
I think it's BS. I don't see any proof of it. I don't see any evidence of it. There's a much bigger gap between rich and poor than there ever has been. Mm-hmm. So if trickle-down economics worked, why is that? It doesn't make any sense to me. So our economy would have to grow north of 3% per year consistently for us to be able to grow our way out of this mess. And that's a high bar. It's usually grown at 2%, not 3%.
Well, yeah, that just seems not realistic.
To me, I have trouble seeing how it's realistic, and I think there's a lot of deflection going on with, hey, I want to buy Greenland, and hey, let's make Canada the 51st state. I think it's deflection like a magician. Look over here. Don't pay attention to the debt. Don't pay attention to Social Security and forget about Medicare. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see them say, you know what, we're going to have a singular focus on fixing these programs. And I would find much, I would feel much better about that personally. I do think, you know, a less regulatory environment will be healthy for investment banking types of activity. We're trading at a pretty lofty valuation, you know. So right now, earnings companies in the S&P 500 expected to grow earnings between 12 and 13% this year, which is really, which is very good. And so I think if the earnings come in, like we saw some great earnings this week from the banks, from J.P. Morgan came out with great numbers, Bank of America, Citigroup, they came out with great numbers. Financials are looking really good. And they came out with great numbers. And so that's what caused the market to jump, what, 700 points or something? You know, yeah. So if the earnings are there, my bottom line answer is that if the earnings growth is there and companies are profitable and showing continued growth like that, then I think the market's going to be just fine. And I'm a buyer on weakness. So what I'm doing is, as I mentioned, I like to find stocks that I'm attracted to that meet my criterion. And then I say, oh, you know what? I'd like to buy it 5% cheaper. And so I'll put in a limit order to buy it five, you know, cheaper, or based on I use charts as well to figure out my buy and sell points. You know, so maybe I'll buy it. Maybe it's too much of, like one of the things I look at is the recent price versus the moving average price. And if it's too far extended above the average price, then chances are good you're going to have a little bit of a pullback, and I'm going to wait for that pullback. But then I'm going to jump in. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to take advantage of the price weakness. And I think that's what you want to do, but you got to do the research ahead of time.
Sure. But you spent your career doing that. You're passionate about doing that.
Yeah, you know, it's actually fun when it all comes together. It's a lot of fun.
Sure. It absolutely is.
And you know, one of them I was buying a company called Celestica, symbol CLS, for my clients, I want to say June, July, August of this past year. It's up over 100% since then. And it just blew away numbers again. And so there are good stocks out there that you can make really good returns on, but you got to do the research, you got to do the homework, and if you don't feel like doing that, you're not into all that, that's fine. That's what guys like me are for.
So absolutely.
Just give me a call and I'll be happy to set up a meeting with you.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making an investment decision.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.